faces and needs here in this building this morning. And I believe very strongly that if you're here this morning, Jesus is saying, I know exactly what you need. I know it's a missionary service.
It's all right.
Amen. But what supersedes a missionary service is the needs that we bring to the house of God. And at any given moment, in a group of apostolic believers, or those who desire to be apostolic believers, gather together in a setting just like this, just like in the New Testament, 2,000 years ago, God is saying, I'm here. Amen. And you can just trust me. And you can just believe me, and I will make a way and open a door. And when Pastor talked about the cell phone connection, this thought came in my mind, and I believe it's from God. And I want to ask you, how well are you connected?
All right?
I want you to just think about it for a moment. How well are you connected in this day and hour that we live in? Are you full of the Holy Ghost? Full of God's Spirit?
Come on.
It was, maybe you've heard it before, it's a story of a captain of a ship that are off the coast of South America. And the captain and the crew of the ship, particular ship, they're in dire needs. They're in distress because they have no more drinking water. And the captain sees another ship just off in far distance. And he signals to the ship, SOS. Save our souls, save our lives. But the message is, we're out of drinking water. It wasn't much time after that the other ship signaled back to this captain, and he told him, just let down your buckets, let down your containers. See, what this captain, this ship did not know, when they had run out of water, that they were right there where the Amazon River, this fresh drinking water, goes in the Atlantic Ocean. And all they had to do was just let down the buckets to the left and to the right of the ship.
All right.
Amen. And I believe that's all we have to do today. Whatever need it is that you have here today.
All right.
Maybe you've been disappointed before. Maybe you've been hurt before. You've heard things about preachers or churches before. You hear, amen, just like in a hospital you come to because you have broken legs, broken feet, hurts, disappointments.
Yes.
Amen. But God is saying, whatever it is that you need here this morning, and I know I'm in the Holy Ghost right now.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Whatever it is that you need, you're in the right place.
Amen.
So I wonder, and I would like to ask you, if you can all of us just lift up our hands. You know, when you lift up our hands, it's a sign of surrender. But can we just, for just a few moments this morning, just simply lift up our hands towards heaven, and whatever need it is that you have brought here today, just simply surrender to the Holy Ghost as He's asking you, how well are you connected today? How well are you connected to me? How much of me do you want to have? How much of God do you want to have? Can we pray for a moment? Would you tell the Lord right now what it is that you need? Hallelujah. Just in your very own way. Hallelujah. Let's lift up our voices for just a moment, church. God, we need you in this day and hour we're living in. God, there's needs, there's broken homes, disappointments, and hurts that have come here to the house this morning. But I also know at the same time, anytime you're present, anytime your spirit is here, hallelujah, God, that every need that I have, situation that I face, every disappointment, everything in my past, Lord, that I can lay on an altar today, Lord, and I know you can heal my family, you can heal my home, you can heal this church, hallelujah, you can heal our cities and our nation, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Let's cry out for just a moment. Can we do this?
Hallelujah.
Would you just lift up your voice? Hallelujah. Can we have some elders just help us for a moment? Some of you ladies, some of you prayer warriors, some of you worshipers. Hallelujah, Jesus. I don't know about you, but I can feel the connection of the Holy Ghost right here, right now. I can feel healing virtue flow through this church right now. Hallelujah. I can feel His hand touching our hearts and bending situations, touching minds. Healing things of the past. God, I pray that we open up our hearts and our minds this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just take another moment. Just another moment in the Holy Ghost. Can you put it on the screen? Yeah. Alright, it's okay.
It's good.
But if you open your Bibles.
They got their Bibles, right?
Good. You know, I read somewhere that putting scriptures on the screen really discourages people from bringing the Bible to church.
Right.
So I really thought about, you gotta do that in Austria. I go to many churches and it seems like more and more people just don't bring the Bible anymore to church. And I got a Bible and an iPad, but I always like to have my Bible with me.
Amen.
So in case this piece of electronics fails, I have the Bible, the Word of God too.
Yeah.
You know, not if it fails, but that's my foundation to go to.
Yeah.
But if you go to Isaiah, the 61st verse, now I'm talking about missions. We have a short video we're going to show and talk about Austria, and I'm going to preach. And then we have an altar call at the end, and I want to encourage you to, at the end of the service, or at any moment in the service, you know, if you feel God moving, you just simply throw your hands up in the air and surrender to Him.
Yes.
At the end of the service, just come to the altar. Step out by faith.
Yes.
Come to the altar. And I believe if you need the Holy Ghost today, that God can and will fill you with His Spirit.
Yes.
It is real.
Yes.
Amen. And I'll tell you why I know it is real. Amen. God is real.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is real.
Amen.
And at the end of the service, at any moment in the service, I believe He can heal you if you have a physical need or a disappointment or a spiritual need. He's going to heal it today, right here in the service.
Thank you, Lord.
Then Isaiah, the 61st verse, and if you allow me, you're the missionaries to Austria, I like to read it in German, and you can read along in English. Anybody speak German? Amen. God is good, brother. Hallelujah. Erweckung in Österreich und in Deutschland.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. But Isaiah 61st verse, and if you read along in English, and I read in German out loud, it is Jesaja 61. Der Geist des Herrn Jehovas ist auf mir, weil Jehova mich gesagt hat, um den Sanftmütigen frohe Botschaft zu bringen. Weil er mich gesandt hat, um zu verbinden, die zerbrochenen Herzen sind. Die zerbrochenen Herzen sind. Freiheit auszurufen den Gefangenen und Öffnungen des Kerkers den Gebundenen. Vers 2. Um auszurufen das Jahr der Annehmung Jehovas und den Tag der Rache unseres Gottes und zu trösten alle Dauernden. Vers 3. Um den Trauernden Zions aufzusetzen und ihnen zu geben Kopfschmuck statt Asche, Freudenöl statt Trauer, ein Ruhmesgewand statt eines verzagten Geistes, damit sie genannt werden Therapeuten der Gerechtigkeit, eine Pflanzung Jehovas zu seiner Verherrlichung. Amen. And I wonder if you can read this third verse together in English. I want to read it to you in English. But I love it so much, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord,
that he might be glorified.
Amen.
And I want to do everything that we do, anything that we do here this morning, that the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. He's on the throne. He's not dead, buried in a grave somewhere, but he's very much alive.
Yes.
He went to Calvary and died for you and I, so you and I have life everlasting.
Right.
And I believe, as I stand here as a former Catholic, filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name after I repented of my sins, the beginning of a new life. I believe this is the answer for not only our cities, but for our nation and our countries as a whole. I believe it's the answer for Illinois and the United States and the North American continent. I believe, excuse me, I had some severe allergies. I'm so sorry, apologize. Let me take my coat off and I'll button my shirt. I think it'll feel better. It is the right to do it. There we go. Hallelujah. But I believe that's the answer. The only answer. It can be found in an apostolic church.
Yes.
Amen. God, once people are filled with the Holy Ghost. And it seems like the societies that you and I are living in, and I'll tell you here in a few minutes about Europe, what's happening in Europe, the European region. But I believe it's the only hope there is. Amen. And you can find it in an apostolic church. What our forefathers believed 2,000 years ago, the apostles preached it, they taught it, they believed it, and they lived it, and they were willing and ready to die for it. Amen. Hallelujah. I wonder if we would be willing to die for it. I know there's millions, possibly millions of Muslims. Maybe it's less, maybe it's not millions, but I know it's many of them. They're willing to die for their faith. They believe in illusion, whatever they receive, and they make it to their heaven. An illusion, a lie. But that lie is strong enough to make them believe and do the things that they're doing, sacrificing themselves for their belief. It's a strong lie. But we as Christians, I wonder how well are we connected to go along with the thought, how willing are we to sacrifice in this day and hour that we're living in, to give of ourselves, of what God has given us. If we have the truth, and I believe we do have the truth,
Amen.
Then we got to ask ourselves, how far are we willing to go?
Come on.
Amen. How strong are we willing to stand when a tidal wave comes against us and is trying to destroy our families and sweep us away? I believe the things that are happening right now, and it's not in my notes, but the Holy Ghost moving. But I believe the things that are happening right now is our economy, terrorism, wars in the Middle East, the storms and earthquakes right here in North America. I think those are just things that Jesus, the Lord, is sending to us to get our attention.
Amen.
And to grow our roots deeper than ever before. We got to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. We got to say, I'm going to hold on to this no matter what's going to happen.
Amen.
I'm not going to deviate from it. I'm not going to sell it cheaply. I'm not going to sell it at all.
Amen.
But I'm going to buy it. I'm going to hold on to the Word.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
That's the foundation. And I believe there's many, many people that are hungry and thirsty. Just like we read here in Isaiah, said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Amen.
Amen.
There's good tidings. There's good news.
Yes.
The gospel is good news.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He wrote himself in flesh. So you and I have a way out from a sinful life.
That's
right. So you and I have an answer. Amen. For the hope that is in us, we ought to give a witness, a testimony to people in this world and tell them there's hope inside of me. We ought to have a smile on our face. I know we go through things. I know there's sickness, there's bad things, and I know maybe a financial problem, but in the midst of all of it, We got to get a hold of Jesus Christ. We got to get a hold of the Holy Ghost in heaven inside of us. Say, I'm going to hold on to you. I don't care what is happening. I don't care what is going on. But I have something that is worth holding on to. It's the good news. It's what this world needs to hear in 2011. More than ever before. It's what Austria needs to hear. Which good tidings unto the meek, he has sent me to bind up the broken hearts. There's people that are broken hearted. Our families. Amen. Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you're broken hearted. You've come into the right place.
Amen.
Your father preached that because of the times, he said, we fix wrecks. Jesus fixes wrecks.
Amen.
And it's the right place for us to go. If you feel like you're perfect, amen, your life is all together, amen, then maybe you're not in the right place. But if your life is a mess and you don't know what to do, and your family's maybe in pieces, your finances is in pieces, your health is not there where it's supposed to be, where you want it to be, but you're in the right place.
Amen.
We have hope, church. We have hope. Because we have the name of Jesus Christ to call upon.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And liberty to the captives. Amen. I used to be captive. Full of drugs and alcohol. But today, I'm in liberty.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm not in chains anymore. I'm not in shackles anymore. But I've got the Holy Ghost. He's setting me free. Hallelujah. I can feel worship here. I don't have to worry about when I drive down the road that I have the hangover or how much drugs I have with me. But I can freely drive through the city and walk anywhere I want to walk to. I don't have to worry about things. I don't have to worry about the law.
That's good.
Amen. Because I'm not under the law.
Amen.
Because I obey it.
Come on.
Good.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Right. Let's worship Him just one more time. We had missionaries to Austria. Austria is right in the heart of Europe. And God is doing great things in the European region.
Yes,
and it's because of seeds that have been planted all over Europe.
That's right.
I want my wife to come. She has a great testimony. Amen. Or stand or maybe come up here. She can share a great testimony that she has and whatever else she wants to say. But we have a wonderful family. She's a vital part of her ministry. We got two wonderful kids. Our son is 18. Our daughter is, how old is she? Our son is 28. And our daughter is 18. Amen. But they're a very vital part to our ministry. Are you getting a microphone? Thank you so much, Pastor. But the seeds that are planted in the European region, amen, what we're seeing right now is a harvest and a revival that is happening because of seeds that have been planted.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, church.
Praise the Lord.
Well, I love being in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
I mean, every time I can walk through those doors, any church, anywhere, all over America, all over the world, I'm just glad to be in church.
Amen.
It is a blessing and a privilege. And the testimony my husband is referring to is a lady that when I was 18 years old, I did not have the Holy Ghost, but I was raised in a Pentecostal church. I knew the truth. I got the Holy Ghost when I was 19, and I waited 19 years too long. But I'm just thankful for the Holy Ghost, and if you don't have it today, you don't have to leave without it. But I want to tell you, it was really great. I worked in a restaurant with a lady by the name of Martha Butler. And Martha was a good person. She loved the Lord, but she was searching, and at the time, I would talk to her about my belief, and I would say, Martha, you need to find a church that preaches Jesus' name baptism and is a spirit-filled church, the Holy Ghost Spirit, the good spirit. And she didn't forget it. That was 22 years ago. About 3 months ago, Martha called my pastor in my home church, and she said, I'm looking, it would have been my dad. My dad passed away 20 years ago. She thought he was the pastor. She said, I'm looking for Brother Stoltemeyer. And the pastor said, well, he's actually passed away, but I'm the pastor. And she said, Shelly Stoltemeyer, that's me, witnessed to me 20 years ago or some a church that baptizes in Jesus' name, and the Holy Ghost is preached. And that is the truth. It is in the Bible. I believe it. I am willing. I believe, as I am standing here, I am willing to die for it. I don't know, church, what we're going to face. None of us know what we're going to face. We don't know it. Living here in America, you are blessed and privileged to be able to get up and go to a church where the truth is preached. Don't ever forget it. Don't take it for granted. And I feel that with very strong conviction right now. In Europe, we don't know what we're going to face. We don't know the things that we're going to have to go through. But I love the truth. And Martha, to make a long story short, she called the pastor. She got a Bible study. She saw the Jesus name baptism. She got the Holy Ghost. She's living an overcoming life today.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. You know, this is exactly what we see in the European nation because of missionaries that have planted seeds. And God opened the doors to several new churches. We planted two new daughter works under the headquarters church. We have a short meeting here, but 6.5-7 minutes long. Amen. But we're having a revival in the European region. You know, Europe has always been a place on the back burner. People have asked us, why is it that we need resources and so much money in the European region? I believe the Lord is coming back very soon.
Yes.
When you think about a revival, end time revival, we know it's happening in South America, where thousands of people, like in Africa, in Asia, and in North America, have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
But Europe has always been a place on the back burner. But now we're seeing hundreds of people filled with the Holy Ghost in the European region. That lets me know, that tells me that there's doors that have been opened. And we're living in the end time, in the end times.
Amen.
Jesus is coming back for His church. I believe that. Amen. I want to take you to Austria for just a few moments. Right in the heart of Europe. Think about Austria. Think about mountains and castles, Mozart, Beethoven, Schubert, Strauss, beautiful lakes.
Start new churches.
God is going to help us. Pentecost Day in Ashkelon with 200 people filled with the Holy Ghost. Right here is our Bible school. We will train 38 students, young men, young ladies, coming from Austria, Germany, Switzerland, driving for 4 or 5 hours to be in the Bible school, sit there for 6, 7 hours. At the end of the day, they worship together, the Holy Ghost moves every single time. Our first year graduating class. Now many Europeans will not come to church. So what we go on the streets. We bring the church to the people. We have gospel choirs. People from the United States come help us. People will open the windows, come out of the streets, and they participate. Hallelujah.
Miracles, amen, that God has provided for us, for many other people.
But let me say this. If you're struggling financially, I want to encourage you to give to mission. See Pastor after the service and tell him, Pastor, I want to support a missionary and I want to be part of what God is doing in this world. Amen.
Yes.
Praise
Amen.
God. Hallelujah. We have a couple of projects. It's a green form. Please see Pastor after the service. See us at the table before you leave. It's a project form. And what it does is if God puts it on your heart to help the work in Austria, we have a Bible school. But my wife and I, we are planning to start a new church in the city of Salzburg. So if you'd like to invest in the city of Salzburg, please get one of those forms. Any amount will help us. We are praying for a building. There's some believers there. They're from the Philippines.
Right.
But I believe that God is touching some hearts there already
Amen.
Right now.
Hallelujah.
So once we go back, we have 1 more year of travel. We've been on the road 1 year. Our daughter is in Amer in Austria. She's 18 years old. Our son lives in Houston, Texas with his wife. Just got married. He's going to join with us. Both of them are going to join with us on the field in Austria. And they're going to help us hopefully start the church in Salzburg. But God put in our hearts to go to Salzburg. And I believe it's in a crossroad right between Italy, Germany, very much in the center
yes.
of the region.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Right.
So if God puts it in your heart to help us in any other way, amen. Please see us or see Pastor after the service.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know, I'd like to read another verse of scripture. If you stand with me one more time. Just a few moments. I'm not going to keep you much longer. I don't know how late you guys usually go. But you know, when you think about Germany and Austria, you think about money and people are very wealthy in the European region. And this is what our plan is, to reach people. I believe the finances are in Europe. For Germany and Austria, Germany, especially Germany, to again become a missionary sending nation. Germany used to send out missionaries.
Right.
And at the General Conference in 2010, we appointed our first regional missionary to the country of Liechtenstein.
Right.
That's what our goal and our plan is. We're training young people, we're training people, we're training pastors to start multiplying, start new churches. Amen. We want to set the pattern with a new church in the city of Salzburg. But I believe there's a return of investment what we send to the European region, because Europe, particularly Germany and Austria, because we are going there, has the financial means and resources to one more time become a missionary sending nation. We can not always rely on the North American body. I believe that. Amen. But I believe, and that's my vision, Pastor. It's my heart. For us to, for people just like me, Austrians, to multiply myself into them.
Yes.
And for them to start going out, become regional missionaries. And who knows, they might go beyond. Just like they do in Brazil for Brother Benedict Merchant. They're sending out people to many Spanish-speaking nations.
Yes.
Praise God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 16 and 15. If you help me preach for a few moments, amen, we'll be out of here very fast. But I believe God has put something in my heart.
Right.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 16 and 15 says, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Hallelujah. And I want to preach for a few moments. Amen. We got to be addicted.
Right.
We got to be addicted.
Right.
Hallelujah. Would you lay your Bibles down and lift up your hands for just another moment? And would you pray with me out loud? In the name of Jesus. God, I pray that it touches. Hallelujah. Lord, you see every need that is here tonight, this morning. God, bind us together and strengthen us, I pray. Lord, let the Holy Ghost freely move in the service. God, you see every family, every need that is here today. God, that we buy into it, Lord. That we buy into serving you. God, that we buy into being your children, your son and your daughters. God, that we be addicted to your service. And Lord, that we do whatever is necessary. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And would you clap your hands unto the Lord? And you can shout hallelujah. Come on, let's shout, let's just glorify. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God.
God be seated.
Hallelujah. Amen. If you would dissect this verse right here for just a moment. Amen. And he's saying right here, I beseech you. And he's saying, I want you to pay proper attention to it. And I really like this verse of scripture right here. Amen. He says, I beseech you, brethren. I want you to pay proper attention. And anytime we hear that or we read it, I know something important is being said. There's some important message that you and I have to get a hold of. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And he gives the reason. He goes on, why the shoe should show respect and kindness to the household of Stephanas. Of Stephanas, Paul says that he baptized his whole family. So we know they're most likely all saved or on the way to be saved. Some suppose that he is the jailer of Philippi in Acts 16 and 33. But the one important thing, when you read about Achaia, amen, they are the first fruit of Achaia. Amen. Those were Paul's first converts in Corinth, in Greece. So I believe he had a special relationship to them.
That's right.
There was a special dear attachment to them. And if you have brought some people to the Lord before, you know you carry them around in a way. You don't really lift them up, but you think about them just like you carry on around a raw egg. And you want to make sure that they get rooted and grounded. You want to make sure that they're, when they come to the house of God, that God really touches them and that a change is taking place. But I believe God, Paul had a really special relationship with them, a special place in his heart for them.
Amen.
And he goes on to say, right here in this verse, and he says that, and they addicted themselves to serve, to aiding the ministry,
right,
to showing hospitality,
right,
providing for the needs of the people, aiding the apostles.
Right.
And I don't know about you, but when I think about addicting myself to ministry, amen, it's exactly what would come to my mind. And I remember my wife and I being a new convert and just loving being in church. You used to be the first one in church and the last one to leave because I enjoyed being under the umbrella of protection. I loved being close to my pastor.
Yes.
Amen. I can come close to him. Amen. But you ought to be close to your pastor.
That's right.
You ought to be as close as you can. He's a pastor. What needs to be done?
That's
pastor,
true.
What can I do to help you in the church? And pastor didn't call me yesterday and didn't tell me what to preach. Amen. But I know what it means to be passionate about the Lord.
All right.
Yes. And I want to do anything that is necessary to serve the body of Christ.
Right.
And I want to make an example and set an example before this world. Because when I think back for just a moment, the life that I used to live, being raised a Catholic in Austria, having no understanding of who God really is. And I remember as a kid, going to Catholic church was my school in the first of the school year, at Easter and Christmas and the last day of school year. And I remember one day standing in line to see the priest. And I was nervous. I didn't know what to say. I knew I had to go in there to confess of my sins. I had no understanding of who God really is. I didn't know that he died on Calvary for me, shed his blood. And I did not know that when the veil was rent, that I had direct access to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings.
All right.
But when I stood there, I knew I had to say something. So I made up some stuff. I said, I stole some gum. I went to the priest and lied to him. Can you imagine it? I lied to the priest. I said, I stole some gum. I had no concept,
right,
of who God really is. See, when I grew up in Austria, I don't remember any of my friends' families, the parents not being divorced. Every friend that I had, the parents were divorced. Other friends were dealing with Ouija boards. I think all of us, we were searching.
Right.
We were looking for answers to life.
All right.
We knew, and I knew, that there's got to be more to life than waking up in the morning, going to sleep, going to school, going to work, and eating and drinking, and whatever else there is to life, playing games. But I knew there got to be something more. Because at the end of the day, the question remains, it don't matter who we are, what our background is, why are we here, where do we come from, and where do we go?
Right.
What do we do in between with our life? Is there a purpose? Is there a reason why we exist? We all search. But in Europe, I've been reading several books about, but the way I grew up was in an atheist, in a skeptic society. And I believe it didn't necessarily have the roots in World War II, but it started a little bit earlier. It was in the thought process of 1890s, 1900s. But they seeds that were planted during World War II with the National Socialist and Hitler,
right,
we feel them all the way until today. My dad was born in 1931, grew up in the Hitler Youth, almost had to go to war against Russia on the Eastern Front. He was 2 years too young. Lives today in Austria, 81 years old. I tell my dad what we do. He doesn't want to know anything about it. He needs the Holy Ghost. Because I know he's searching. His dad was a prisoner of war in Russia. Came back home after the war. But none of those men had answers. I saw pictures of infant baptism with a Nazi flag draped over an altar. Until this day, we find atheists and skeptics all over Austria and all over Europe. They will tell you, a skeptic will tell you, I don't have enough reasons to believe in God. We go on outreach, hand out flyers in the streets, and people will spit on the ground before you. Others will, apartment complexes, they will slam the door in your face, telling you, or trying to ensure you and hurt you.
Right.
Amen. But I know one thing. If you've seen on the video, there is an open door before us. And I got to do everything that is necessary,
amen,
to reach somebody, to save them before hell gets a hold of them.
Right.
I got to do anything that is necessary to reach a family, to reach another young man just like I used to be. And a few years after going to the priest, I sat at home after Catholic confirmation, holding a cross in my hand and saying those words, or the prayer, if you would. God, if you're real, I want to know you. And it seems like every time I have a church service just like this, that somebody will come up after the service and say, Brother Super, my testimony, my experience, what I went through sounds so very much like what you experienced. And I want to challenge you, just like my wife said. Amen. Don't leave here the way you came. Whatever need it is that you have brought here. And maybe you're here this morning, you're questioning, God, are you real? God, do you really exist? God, if you're real, can you touch me today?
All right.
God, can you fill me with your spirit? If I'm empty, an empty vessel, God, can you heal me? Can you heal my body? Can you heal my hurts, my disappointments, the scars that so many of us carry around with us and we are scared to show them? And I know we need physical prayer for physical needs. But I believe the greatest needs is for people to be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And God is going to take care of every scar that we have.
Yes.
Every scar of disappointments and hurts from our past where parents have told us, you're not worth anything, you're no good. Amen.
Amen. That's good, brother.
But this environment I grew up, hallelujah, it was the prayer I prayed. God, if you're real, God, if you really exist, I want to know you. And I believe that God answered that prayer. He heard it. And anytime you cry out in sincerity and in desperation, just like the woman with an issue of blood, she was desperate because for 10 long years she tried everything on her own, and she could not figure out where the answer would come from. Spent all her money probably call every doctor. If today maybe we go call every doctor, call all our friends and all our relatives and go and Google and try to Google about our disease and the problem, and we forget so many times because we have all these resources, technical resources at our fingertips. We forget about the one who is really in control and in charge of anything that we need. In a service just like this. A God who is not laying buried in a grave, but who is alive.
Amen.
And who is the answer, hallelujah, to our families, for our families, for our society, amen, for our cities, for our schools, for people that we work with. Amen. See, the journey I went on, falling in prayer was one I was searching. My life was like a puzzle with many pieces, but not a complete picture. And I was searching, and tried alcohol, tried drugs. Nothing would satisfy me. Went to culinary school in Austria, landed in Austin, Texas, 1989. And I thought I'd be opening restaurants and catering companies and bars. I wanted to be a millionaire by the time I was reaching 40. Well, I'm 44. I'm not a millionaire. Amen. But God knew exactly what He was doing. I'm much richer today. And that's something I can hold on to eternally. I'm married to one wife. I've got two wonderful kids. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. So let me go back to this, what the writer says right here about being addicted. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to be addicted. You know, if I go back to my background as where I started when I left my text, I remember growing up in Austin, watching soccer fans, how excited, how passionate, how addicted, if you want to call it, that they were to their piece of leather running from one side, running to the other side. And
right.
Maybe there's people, some are watching a football game or winter time, it's ice hockey games or whatever it is. And I remember going to different bars and casinos in Austria and nightclubs and just being excited about what was happening and going on there. But how much more, I'm thinking, do I have to be excited and passionate and addicted? If this world is addicted to their things, to what they're doing, amen. But how much more, and how much more passionate do I want to be? And how much more of a made up mind do I want to have
right.
to carry me through this day and hour that you and I are living in? You say, God, I'm excited about my church. God, I'm excited what is happening, not only in the European region, Pastor, but I'm excited as I'm traveling from the apostolic church, and I hear about miracles that God is doing. And I don't know about you, but if I be part of the church, I'd be excited.
Amen.
Because if you would look around for just a moment, you would see miracles that are sitting here in the church on this Sunday morning. Can I have an amen? Has God ever worked a miracle for you?
Yes.
Would you just wave your hand under the Lord and say, God, thank you, Jesus, for healing me before. If it's God who's filthy with the Holy Ghost, would you just cry out and tell Him, thank you, Jesus. If He's blessed you financially before, would you just lift up your hands and wave unto the Lord, thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. It was a German philosopher by the name of Georg Hegel. He said that nothing great has ever been accomplished without passion. Amen. I want to be passionate about the Lord.
Amen.
I want to be passionate about what He's doing.
Yes.
And I believe that our greatest revival is just one testimony away.
Come on.
I want you to get a hold of this. Let me say it again. I believe that our greatest revival, it's just one testimony away. Because every testimony that you have, I know there's somebody somewhere in this city, maybe your neighbors across the street, they feel they're an island to themselves. They don't know where to turn.
Right.
To the left, to the right. Amen. Maybe their husbands or their wife, their marriage is about to break apart, their finances, how not there, there. Have physical needs, tumors, cancer, diabetes, whatever it is. But if God has done something for you before, You ought to be a witness to somebody. You ought to tell him, God is so great. God has done such a great thing for me. You ought to hear about the apostolic church right here. You should hear about what has happened last Sunday. There was a lady that prayed in the altar, and God healed her.
Come on.
There was a young man that prayed for a job, and God blessed him with a new job. There was a family that prayed for the marriage to be restored, and God put the family back together. There was somebody, a man that prayed for a financial miracle. And you know what happened the next Sunday? He had a check in the mail for $500,000. Whatever it is.
Good.
That God has done for you.
Good.
I want to speak to it today. That its seed is not going to lay dormant somewhere.
Come on.
But that you allow the Lord to speak to it.
Yes.
That you allow the fire just to one more time to burn again.
Amen.
I believe the Lord is coming back soon, Pastor.
Hallelujah.
And I remember going to this one particular soccer game in Austria. The last 15 minutes, what this the fans of this one particular team would do, they would clap their hands for the entire last 15 minutes. And I believe this is where we are today. We're in the final hours.
Come on.
It seems like Jesus is, God's pushing the time back of his coming. And it seems like he's allowing more and more people to come in. But it is the final 15 minutes. Hallelujah. And in this time now, I got to do everything that is necessary to be excited. And you know, sometimes I know I don't feel like it. Because the problems and burdens that are weighing me down. But what you ought to do on Monday morning, you just simply got to lift up your hands. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Before you go to work, before you go to school, lift up your hands and start praising the Lord of Lords. And acknowledge your Savior. Acknowledge the one who provides for you every need that you have. And maybe what you even can do before you get out of bed, and as you lay there, your eyes starting to open up, and you know the alarm clock has gone off, and you know it's time to get the kids to school or go to work or go every place you have to go to. Why don't you just try it on Monday morning? Lift up your hands. Hallelujah. And say, God, it's going to be a great day. Jesus, it's going to be a wonderful day. And I'm going to praise you today. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Now I'm closing. Give me a few more minutes. And you might say, well, preacher, you don't even know what I'm going through. We all go through stuff. But how do you perceive it? How well do you want to be connected to the one who supplies all the needs that you have?
Yes.
Amen. And if you want to be connected well, what you need to do, you got to worship him.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Because I know one thing, when I start to lift up him and his name, he's going to draw close to me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's going to take care of his children. He's going to take care of his families.
Yes,
hallelujah. So tomorrow morning, starting with Monday morning. Hallelujah. I know we all have financial problems. I know there's sickness in all of us to a certain degree. And I know there's family difficulties. Amen. But before you get up tomorrow morning, amen, just take a moment and start praising the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings.
Right.
Hallelujah. I know it's hard and it's difficult. But God is going to be a great day today. Jesus, I'm going to lift you up today. Hallelujah. I'm going to worship you. And then when you get your first foot before you hit the ground, before you touch the floor in your bedroom, amen, to say, God, it's going to be a great day. And maybe what you can do, even on a Monday morning before you go to school and go to work, say, God, hallelujah, I'm just going to take a moment and I'm going to praise you. I'm going to worship you. Hallelujah. Let me tell you this. When you start to praise the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, amen, I believe mountains are going to move. I believe he's going to open doors up for you. I know he's going to turn things around when they look black, when they look dark, when you don't know where to turn or what to do. Amen. Just let passion rise up inside of you. Say, God, you're a great God. I want to be addicted to serve you. Hallelujah. And I want to worship you. with my whole heart. Would you stay with me? There are Jewish men. There are Jewish men praying at the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. And perhaps you've seen pictures or watched it online before. Those are the Orthodox Jews, rabbis. But when they stand there at the Wailing Wall and they start with prayer, you will see them constantly swaying back and forth, just worshiping God. There were some people, they came up to a rabbi and asked him, why is it that you men do that? Why is it that the Orthodox Jews, why is it that they stand there at the Wailing Wall and they constantly sweep back and forth? And the Hasidic rabbi answered, said, there's two reasons why we do that. And so the first one is, when we come before the king, we are in awe and trembling. King David writes in Psalms 35 and 10, he says, all of my limbs shall proclaim who is like you. He said, when we praise God, we do so with all of our being. The mind, the heart, our mouth expresses the prayer through speech and worship. And the rest of our body does so by moving. Every fiber of ourself is involved in connecting to our Creator. I gotta worship Him in every situation. Hallelujah. I know my worship is gonna move mountains. I know my worship is gonna reach my daddy, my Father in heaven. Hallelujah. Our provider, our shield, our protector. He's the source of everything that we have. He's gonna be the light that shines our path that we walk on. Amen. We don't have to worry about this economy, church. We don't worry, we have to worry about what is going to come and what is going to happen. Amen. But we simply have to lift up and call upon His name.
Yes,
and He said the second reason is this. He said the soul, our soul is akin, is like a flame. You watched a flame before from a candle. You will see it, you will see it reach up. Always trying, gasping for air. Trying to make sure it stays alive. So he won't die. That the flame constantly sways and flickers. Proverbs 20:27, he said this, says the soul of man is a candle of God. Constantly swaying and flickering, attempting to tear free of its wick and ascending up on high. It's how our soul and our worship should be. Constantly attempting, trying to reach up. And I wonder if you can do that here this morning. Would you lift up your hands? Might be the first time you lift up your hands today. But would you reach out? Hallelujah. Whatever need it is that you have here this morning. Would you take a moment to acknowledge Him and worship Him? If you need the Holy Ghost here this morning. And you say, God, I want to be an empty vessel. He can fill you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's lift Him up for just a moment.